Nikki Javala does a great job covering the team for the Washington Post. She joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. And I'm sitting there scrolling through your X timeline from the last couple of days, and it's so true. You retweeted something, the Zuerlein 54-yard field goal, essentially at the gun on Christmas Eve to beat Washington 30-28. If that kick goes awry, as his kick, by the way, Sunday did against Denver, Washington does not have Jaden Daniels. I don't know who they have. Maybe Drake May. Maybe J.J. McCarthy. Maybe Bo Nix. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. Who knows? But we're not sitting here having the conversation that we're about to have. It really is such a fine line league. And that kick, you retweeted it, just barely slipped through the left upright.
Yeah. No, I know. I told them they should, like, honor him or something. Like, name the special teams meeting room after Greg Zuerlein or something. Like, the man deserves his due, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. All right. What are you most surprised by through the first 4 weeks of the season?
Oh, man. Quite a bit. I mean, I knew Jaden Daniels would be good. I think just in watching his tape from LSU and talking to a lot of folks, and I'm certainly not the first person to say that they thought Jaden Daniels would be good. I didn't think he would be this good this fast this early. And now we'll see if he can sustain it, but, you know, the week three performance was no fluke. What he did last weekend was no fluke. He's going to have bumps in the road, no doubt, but he's playing pretty freaking well for a rookie, and he just looks comfortable. It looks poised. I know everybody's throwing around that word quite a bit, but to see such decisiveness from a young player so early in their career is remarkable, really. So that has surprised me. And then on the flip side, I would say I honestly thought the defense would be better to start, better than the offense, but better overall. And they started to put it together in this last game, so that was promising. But the front four, wasn't quite sure how they would look without, with two new ends, really. And it's, you know, you certainly haven't seen the production that you want out of that front four. Dorrance Armstrong really came through in the last game. Still want to see more out of John Allen and Deron Payne, but they're making progress. But I thought that group would be a little bit farther along.
Yeah, I think that for me, that's the biggest surprise through four games. And I'm still a little skeptical after Sunday because they got gashed on the ground. And the quarterback, for some reason, refused to run, or they refused to call any runs or even option runs for him. I thought it would be much improved. You know, not top 10 where it was 2 years ago, but I thought it would be much improved, and it isn't. What do you have a sense as to, with respect to Jaden, if they're surprised about this?
About what he's been able to do?
Yeah. Or, I mean, I know that they were confident,
yeah,
but do you have a sense as to whether or not they're a bit blown away by the start as well?
Yeah, I don't think they expected him to be shattering NFL records in its first four games. I don't know that any team could reasonably expect that going in. I mean, even Patrick Mahomes, like, that wasn't the expectation in his, you know, first 2 years. I mean, he started, what, week 16 of his rookie season and then started the next one. But that wasn't the expectation going in. So, I think he's definitely exceeded it. I think he's fulfilled a lot of, like, hopeful expectations they've had for him, just with his work ethic and the way he handles himself, the way he is around the other players. He sort of has, like, this gravitational pull with the other guys, and it's not something you can really teach in anybody, you know, let alone a quarterback. It's just either you kind of have that charisma or you don't. I'm socially awkward, so I don't. but you can see how he interacts with the guys. He builds that respect with both, you know, the likes of Doug Williams as well as other rookies on the roster. You know, he can joke around but also command the respect from Bobby Wagner. I mean, I think it takes a rare personality, a rare person to be able to do that. And, you know, pair it with his skill set, his work ethic, it's really, you know, an ideal combination.
You know, don't worry. Social awkwardness is totally offset by confidence, just so you know. And I would also say about him, and I'm wondering if you think this is the best description, because I think you essentially just described it this way. Dan Quinn said there's this very kind of hard thing to reach, which is inspiring confidence because you know you're good, but being able to do it as a young person with a level of humility that doesn't, you know, put off sort of an arrogant tone. Is that what he is?
Yes, 100%. I mean, that too is a fine line, you know, being confident without cocky, being sure of yourself without being arrogant, or especially for a young player coming off as though you think you know everything, you think you have it all figured out. He does not come off like that at all. He does know quite a bit, as we've seen, but he doesn't give that air. And I think that's a big reason he's able to, you know, really earn the respect that he has among, you know, the veterans that are, you know, like Bobby Wagner's, you know, Hall of Famer, and he's earned the respect of Bobby Wagner. I think that says quite a bit. I think he's one that really knows the balance there. He's very self-aware from what we've seen so far. And I say that knowing I don't know these guys truly. We know what we see in the locker room, on the practice field, in the games, you know, in the pressers. But we don't truly know any of these guys on a personal level. But from everything we've seen, he seems incredibly self-aware, which is, again, pretty remarkable for his age and giving everything that's been placed upon him. This position's a pressure cooker, especially here where this market has longed for a reliable quarterback for so long.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean, you've been here for all the bad stuff. I mean, how much different? I mean, I have a sense of it, too, from a slightly different seat. But what's it been like here over the first 4 weeks of the season to see this kind of a reaction?
Pretty wild. You know, you feel like you're watching a completely different team, and it makes you realize, like, you know, I know much of this team is different. They overhauled like 60% of the roster, but there's still a number of pieces that they've had for years, and you realize it has a number of good pieces. That position is so important anymore. I mean, it's rare that you can win and win consistently with I hate even using the word elite because it's just become a subject of debate, but it's true. Like, there's the elite, there's the very good, and a very good can take you pretty far, but can't take you all the way. And that's the difference. And, like, I don't think they've reached, you know, very good at any stage over the time that I've been here. And I say that with all due respect to the quarterbacks that have come through, but you see it in their play, you see it in their record. Like, it just hasn't gotten there. And when someone like Jaden Daniels, who is rare, I think, even after four games, I feel comfortable saying that, you see the difference. It's complete 180.
It's such a great point, and not that it isn't, you know, something that other people are thinking about, but it's worthy of emphasis. Like, it's so obvious just watching this team in the first four games. If you're one of those people that think, yeah, don't swing for a big quarterback, you know, build up the offensive line, build up the defense, and then, you know, trade back, and no, the quarterback position is so far and away the most important position in this sport. Like, it's not even a conversation anymore. And in this particular case, he's not only elevated the product on the field, he's elevated, like, the entire organization and, you know, I think a big part of the fan base.
100%.
That's been illustrated. Yeah.
I mean, the value add, that's why when there's so much debate about quarterback contracts, and I mean, it's all relative, right? You know, they're making very good money, but compared to every other position, they are worth every penny. The good ones are worth every penny. I mean, he's, you know, you add so much value to the business, the team, everything.
Yeah, somebody at the end of this year, if it continues to go the way it's going, will do this, you know, ROI analysis on what it's meant to revenue, top line, just not tickets, you know, concessions, parking, but, you know, all the other stuff. And and it'll more, I mean, on the rookie deal, it'll be an absolute home run. But you're right. There's no price on the best ones that is too high. You know, you said something, and we're talking to Nikki from the Washington Post. You said, like, you kind of feel like you already know. But do we really know at this point? Like, I asked this question last week, and we took calls on it. Like, when will you really know? Because four games, come on, it's the shortest of sample sizes. We would say about, we would have said about him 4 weeks ago, you know, it takes a year. Sometimes it's a second or third year. And now we're talking about four games we really know. And being as objective as we can be right now, and you are, I'm more of a fan than you are, although you grew up a fan, actually you did.
I did.
When will we really know, and what will make us realize that he is what we believe he's going to be right now?
Yeah, no, and I agree with you. I do think it takes time, and I think it's often difficult to separate him from all the other variables. You know, is what we're seeing because of, you know, I would never say with him, especially, like, oh, it's, you know, he's a system quarterback. I hate the notion of a system quarterback. Like, every quarterback is better when they're put in the right system that fits them. Right. I think that's such a, you know.
But would you say it's a lot of Kingsbury? But, would you? Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're figuring out how to best maximize his skill set. I feel confident that he's the closest they've had to the real thing, you know. In years, no doubt. Will this sustain? I think that depends on who they put around him. There's a lot on the quarterbacks, but it's not all on him. And if you don't give him, you know, consistently a good line, if you don't improve that defense, if you don't, you know, continue to give him, you know, quality receivers, then there's only so much one person can do out on that field, right? But is there going to be, like, an aha moment when we know? I don't know. I'm trying to think back to, like, when did we know that Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes? I don't know if there was a real point. I just think over the course of his first season, his second season, he just continued to wow people, you know? And I could see Jaden doing that. It is only four games. It's early. I think his body of work, though, starts in the spring, and he's continually progressed from there. Had this just been, you know, two great performances and we didn't have much else, fine. But I think for those that have been here, you could see him continually get better and show improvement throughout, so it doesn't feel like a flash in the pan type deal.
I'm going to give you my answer to that question because I want to ask you what your guess is on how he'll handle this. For me, it's how he handles that first legitimate adverse, you know, adversity moment, you know, bad game, a bad couple of games, a couple of losses where he throws some picks or he fumbles and there's criticism and there's people are not falling all over themselves. And we know the NFL changes so quickly and our fan base so fickle. I personally think that he's built to handle something like that. By the way, Mahomes has never faced adversity. I went back and looked at, like, all the great ones. Mahomes and Marino are really the two that just started off great and it just never, ever, you know, dipped significantly at any point without, you know, the resume already there. So adversity would be my answer.
I would agree with that. I would say when Mahomes was playing on virtually one leg and had no receivers in the Super Bowl and still gutted it out. I thought that was
right, but he had already had the resume at that point.
Sure, totally. And I agree with you. That's why I think there was so much emphasis on this you know, one interception, which has taken on a life of its own. You want to throw as the most, you know, the interception heard around the world. But I think that's why it became so important, is everybody wanted to see how would he respond. Could he bounce back? Would he let it fester? You know, would it linger to the next play? And would this sort of snowball? Because we've seen it how many times, especially with young quarterbacks, where they kind of get in their head, or, you know, defenses start to figure them out after a couple games where they got stuff on tape. So to see him bounce back and not really get flustered, it wasn't necessarily a surprise, but it was definitely good to see. You know, but that is just one throw. I agree.
Yeah. I don't categorize that as adversity. I think they won 42-14, so there's nobody walking away from that.
Right.
Like he isn't. I just wonder, how do you think he will handle it if he does face it for real? Like a couple of games, couple of losses, and they're kind of on him. And you've been around him more.
Yeah. No. And I the thing with him, which I think it's interesting, is he's always sort of that same level. And I know that sounds cliche. It's what every coach says. It's, you know, he's so even keeled. He's calm and collected. But the guy is the same tone in every presser, like every single one. Like, he just set a record for, you know, completion percentage. And he, you know, you probably couldn't tell if he won or lost the game based on his right. press conference. But I think that's a good thing, and you'd like to think that's how he would handle his first really big test in the NFL, is, you know, keep it the same. Don't get too high, don't get too low, because that can affect the guys around you. You've got to move on to the next play. So that's my best guess. Again, none of us really truly know these guys, but you know, he has faced some adversity in his college career leaving ASU. I think that Florida game was, you know, probably the best example. You know, literally concussed the week before, comes in and, you know, puts on a show. But we'll see. You know, I think there are a lot of signs that indicate that he would handle it quite well.
We are talking to Nikki Javala from the Washington Post. So, do you think their short-term goals, as in 2024, have changed?
No. I mean, I think it'd be foolish to say that their short-term goal was, you know, merely to win, you know, a certain number of games.
I agree with that.
Every team wants to win it all, whether you truly suck or you're actually great. So I don't think they do. I think they know there's still quite...
Oh, we lost Nikki there. Want to get her back. We'll get her back on the phone. I know she's got to be on something at 11:25, but we should have another minute. Yeah, I mean, I think her answer there would be my answer, too. Like, I don't think their short-term goals were what some of you guys thought, which is, hey, let's go out and win 7 games, but really have a good feeling at the end of the year. I just don't think anybody in that sport goes into a season thinking that way. There's a fine line between 10 wins and 7 wins, and if everything goes your way, you can get to 10, and that's without knowing that you had the great, you know, quarterback play. Do we have Nikki back? Do we have her back, Chris? No. Okay.
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay, I got you back now. I was just saying, you know, and we had these conversations before the season started. Like, I think people that thought, oh, we're going to go in there and think, let's just really get to the end of the year with 6 or 7 wins and think that the arrow's pointed up. No, that's not the way these people think. And they shouldn't think that way in the NFL, because it happens every year that 3 or 4 teams that aren't supposed to be very good end up in the postseason. Let me ask you, what's possible now that you've seen them in 4 games this year?
Yeah. Honestly, anything. I mean, they look like the best team in the NFC East right now. I think they began the season with many thinking they'd be the, you know, if not one of, with the Giants, you know, the worst team in the NFC East. So they surpassed my expectations there. And again, I like you look at Houston last season. Nobody expected that. I feel like sort of anything's possible. Now, do I really think after four games they're going to win the Super Bowl? No, but anything's possible.
Yeah, anything is possible. Thank you, Kevin Garnett. But I want to get you on record. What's possible after week four? My answer was division title and at least one playoff win.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Totally, yes. Put me down for that. Yeah.
I know you got to run. I always enjoy the conversations. Hope you're well. Let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep. Nikki Jhabvala, everybody, from The Washington Post, at Nikki Jhabvala on X. And Nikki spells her last name. It's Nikki than I, Jhabvala. Follow her on social media. She's great. All right. Appreciate that. When we come back, I did look at a couple of things yesterday, sort of after the fact on the All-22. Not a film expert, okay, like so many people are on the internet these days. But there were a couple of observations that I did not make in my game take yesterday that I wanted to mention. We'll do that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com. From Bobby. She's great. Wish you would have her on more. She is good. She's always good. Nikki's really smart and does a great job. And we have her on, and I love having her on. You get to a point where you don't want to ask people too much. Ben is our regular, and he's phenomenal, as everybody understands. But yeah, I agree, and a lot of you really like Nikki, and I do too. By the way, NFL.com out with their updated power rankings. Washington is 7 in the NFL.com power rankings. Now, I'm going to guess that this has to be the highest they've been since 2016. When they got to 6-3-1 in 2016 and they destroyed Aaron Rodgers and the Packers on Sunday Night Football, I think that may have been the highest point. Because remember, 2012, they were 3-6. You know, 2018 always seemed a bit fraudulent, remember? And I'm not saying that it was. I mean, they played good football. They played smart football in 2018, getting to 5-2. But they didn't really the best teams they played. Remember New Orleans and they played somebody else. Atlanta just absolutely shredded them. They just weren't that dynamic offensively. I don't think we've seen them this high in a power rankings on a sports website, you know, covering the NFL since 2016. I would bet after that Green Bay game, they went to 6-3-1. They were easily in the top 10 at that point, because that matchup against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, Dak's rookie year when they were 9-1, was a big-time, highly anticipated, heavyweight, in-season matchup between two teams that were thought to be two of the better teams. They were bad on defense. That was the problem. And for all of you, you know, and many of you have tweeted in, they can win the Super Bowl. It's an offensive league. They've got the quarterback. They've got the offense. I'll just repeat what I said earlier. No rookies ever won a Super Bowl. No rookies ever started in a Super Bowl. And only 5 quarterbacks have started in an NFC or AFC title game, and they are, where's my list again here, Sean King in 2000, Ben Roethlisberger in 2005, Joe Flacco in 2009, Mark Sanchez in 2010, and Brock Purdy in 2023. What do all 5 of those teams have in common? They had dominant defensive football teams. It's hard to get even to your championship game with a bad defense. And yeah, I have hope, too, that it will improve. I have belief that it can't get any worse. And that, you know, a lot of it has to do with a lot of new players, new scheme, the whole thing. And by the way, without an absolute stud like Jaden is on defense, it's not like they've got Micah Parsons in his rookie year. It's not like they've got Myles Garrett or Aaron Donald on that defense to elevate everybody around it. They don't have that player, you know. So I do have hope that it can get better. I think there are some limitations on what it can become. Anyway, so those of you that have been on hold and you want to answer that question, what's possible for this year, we'll get back to it, I promise. Stay on hold. We'll get back to it in about 10 minutes. So I went and I watched the game yesterday on the All-22 when that came out. Did not check out the defense. I do want to check out the defense. I want to see what's the issue with the run game. And I'm not, you know, saying that I'm totally qualified to answer, but some of it will be obvious. I also want to kind of check out what Emmanuel Forbes did. He did not have a high PFF grade. I did see that. So there are a couple of plays in particular that I want to talk about. But I also want to just mention that Jeremy McNichols was so good in this football game. He was excellent as a blocker, not just in pass pro. And the running from McNichols, I mean, this is a guy that through his career had been with San Francisco, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Tennessee, San Francisco, and in his career had rushed for one touchdown back in 2020, the COVID year, with Tennessee. The most yards in a season, 204 in 2020. He had not carried the ball since 2021 until this year. He had not had a carry in a game since 2021. And they saw something. They kept him, remember, over Rodriguez. They kept him over the kid Wiley, who had played pretty well in the preseason. And everybody said, what's the deal? Well, you know, you got a general manager now, okay, with a group that they get paid to evaluate talent. They don't get paid to be administrators or figure out ways to win off the field. You have a head coach and a very, very experienced coaching staff. I mean, we've talked about Kingsbury. How about Anthony Lynn, you know, and the job he's doing as the run game coordinator? And they obviously saw something in him. What I, you know, a lot of times coaches will say, look, he's average as a runner. He's average as a pass catcher. But this dude really is smart. This dude's great in the locker room. This dude, if we put him into the game and we need to throw the ball late, he can handle pass pro. It's obvious he can handle pass pro. Going back to the Terry McLaurin touchdown in Cincinnati. But he's got super good, subtle, sneaky feet, explosion, and great vision. I liked McNichols at Boise. He was a good back in college. He was. And he played in some big games for Boise. His last year at Boise in 2016, he rushed for 1,709 yards and 23 touchdowns that year. He also had 37 catches that season for 474 yards and four more scores. By the way, he also returned kickoffs at Boise in college and was pretty good at that. But the idea, sometimes this just happens with teams that get some mojo and get on a roll a little bit. You know, they lose Eckler, and I thought it was going to be a big deal, and they just had somebody step in. And there was absolutely no drop-off with McNichols. So kudos to him. He had an excellent football game and has had an excellent six quarters, really, because Eckler got hurt early in that third quarter against Cincinnati. By the way, I was talking about this with Tommy, actually, and he asked about McNichols, and I said he's been outstanding. And it reminded me, you know, remember the first year they won the Super Bowl in 82? That was their first Super Bowl win. They went to the Super Bowl in 72, this franchise did. They lost Art Monk late in the year. They didn't have their best receiver. So it was Alvin Garrett and Charlie Brown, and everybody stepped up. So it was a great job by McNichols. Two plays that I wanted to focus on, all right? One good, one bad from the game. So the first one is the interception. I'm not going to sit here and make a massive deal out of the interception, but I'm surprised by the play. I mentioned, I nitpicked a couple of plays from Jaden. It was an A-plus game. Of course it was. Again, it was brilliant. One of the plays, and I went back and looked at this, he definitely throws that touchdown pass to Terry McLaurin a tad bit late, but it was just not great coverage with the help safety, and he was able to gun it in there anyway. But I think the ball should have been out a little bit early. But the interception is an an interesting play in that it's first and 10. They're on a roll. And you can tell he's feeling it here. All right. He is feeling, you know, they're on a roll. It's 14-7. They haven't been stopped in, you know, since the end of the, or, you know, it, I mean, not the end of the Tampa game because they actually scored in the Tampa game, but they haven't been stopped in forever. I mean, they're not punting. They're not throwing interceptions. They're just, and he throws into a very tight cover two hole. It's just not wide enough as a cover two with the two safeties. They were too close together. Even on a good throw, it is going to be really tough. The throw's got to be, you know, it's got to be low, it's got to be high velocity, and it's got to be early, and Terry's got to react to it and go down for it and make one of those catches. I don't think Terry's expecting him to throw the ball. Terry's going into a cover two hole, and he's like, safeties are too close together. I'm not getting it. Terry actually gets his head around late because I don't think there's any chance he's expecting that ball. And then the ball's not thrown well. You know, there's that too. Could it have been completed? A low probability, and the ball would have had to have been out early, and it would have had to have been out low. Like on one of those other, that second and sixth throw that he made on their third drive in the second half. The reason that I'm surprised, he was feeling great, as he always does. He took a shot on a first and 10 play action. Is that I don't think his read should have taken him there, and his read should have immediately taken him from there to the under the crosser, at, which is covered, and then immediately to the check down, which is McNichols. Because the check down is wide open, and this is a play that is probably a 20-yard play, 15 to 20-yard play, and it doesn't happen that way. And I just a little bit surprised that he took that shot. Don't mind the aggression, but I just don't think that that's a throw unless it's out early and it's out low and Terry goes down to get it. I think Terry's surprised and the check down is wide open. And then I want to go to another throw, which was on the drive before that. And bear with me because I had it up a second ago and I wanted to narrate it. But it's the out pattern that he throws to Terry. Three tight ends on the field. It's the second drive of the game. And it's an 11-yard throw to Terry McLaurin on an out. And this is where, this is high-level throwing. It's high-level processing. It's high-level everything. Because the ball is out just as Terry comes out of his break. There are two under coverage guys, including a linebacker. It's a hole you got to fit it into. The ball was snapped from the on that particular play with three tight ends on the field. Hold on for one sec. Sorry about this. I had it there for a second. The ball is snapped on the left hash. That means that he's throwing to the short side of the field. And there are three tight ends in the game. You had Sinnott, you had Ertz, you had Bates. They were in the pattern. Robinson's a check down. And it's just a beautiful throw. It's got to go over the linebacker. It's got to go in front of the deep corner. And there's such tight space to fit it into because it's going to the short side of the field. It's got to be out early. Terry does a great job, gets both feet in. High level throw from a rookie quarterback. Go back and look at second on first and 10 from their own 18-yard line on their second drive of the game. This is the drive that ended in a touchdown that made it 14-7. I mean, he had several high-level throws and plays, but this is an in-rhythm play. It is a hard throw for a lot of quarterbacks to make, let alone young quarterbacks. A lot of them need to see it. He doesn't need to see it. He knows where it needs to go, and he literally drops it right in the bucket. It's a beautiful throw, and just shows what he's capable of. Anyway, that was kind of it upon further review of the game. Some of the blocking on some of the runs were just outstanding. You know, the Robinson pitch sweep on that first drive, the Jaden Daniels 9-yard touchdown run, a couple of the McNichols runs. Now, he feels it, and he's really good at the cutback. That's one of those where if you've got a back that doesn't have good vision and feel and understand what the blocking scheme is in front of him, he runs in to, you know, tacklers that he shouldn't run into, but he senses peripherally where that cutback is. Just excellent blocking in the run game. They're a very impressive run block line, and I think they're very impressive in terms of getting to the line of scrimmage and checking to the runs that make sense. They check to a lot of runs away from certain people they don't want to run to or sides that are overloaded. I'm pulling up right now. I said I wasn't going to do it last week with respect to defense, but I do want to see where their run block win rate is as a team now, per Next Gen, because I'm going to guess that it's fairly high. Next Gen, holy smokes. Yeah, it's high. Run block win rate, number one in the NFL. I did not know that as I was just looking it up. I figured it was high. Next Gen right now has Washington's team run block win rate as number one in the NFL. Pass block win rate, number eight. I was going to say the pass protection Sunday was great, but I didn't think they'd be top 10 on that. Number one Next Gen run block win rate. That is outstanding. And it looks that way. It looks that way when you're watching it on TV. It probably looks that way in the stadium, and it definitely looks that way on the All-22. The other thing is, let me just see individually who they have in it, because I think Cosmi, Allegretti, and Biotis are great, but I think Wiley as a run blocker is outstanding, too. Individual, let's see, inside linemen. Inside run block win rates. No, that's pass block. Sorry about this. Just figuring it out as we're going along. Washington has offensive tackle run block win rates. Andrew Wiley's ninth. Yeah, inside lineman, nobody's in the top 10 in Next Gen. But Wiley's ninth among tackles. Wiley's a big-time load, man, when he gets going in the run game. Love their counter stuff. Love their power stuff. Love their zone stuff. I think their runners are actually really good, especially Eckler and even McNichols are really good zone runners. And, you know, under center zone runs give you the opportunity to bootleg off of it. And he is going to be unstoppable in that kind of attack. And they've incorporated more of that into what they're doing. But how about that? Run block win rate per Next Gen, number one in the league. It's good. All right. What's possible this year? 301-230-0980. We'll get back to some of your calls on this one. At 12 noon, Mike Jones from The Athletic will jump on with us. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. All right, what's possible this year? They're number 7 in the NFL.com power rankings. They're number 10 in ESPN, number 8 in CBS Sports. Somebody just sent me a link saying Stephen A. had him number 5 on his power rankings today. What's possible this year? Let me just remind everybody. I know I'm stuck on this here, but I think it's relevant. I think sometimes history is, you know, a good predictor of the future. Not always. No rookies ever won the Super Bowl starting at quarterback. No rookies ever played in a Super Bowl starting at quarterback. And only 5 rookies have started in an NFC or AFC title game. And they had great defenses. That surprises me that there weren't more that at least made it to the championship game. But that's the data that I have found. Ronnie, what's possible this year?
Anything's possible. Just like it's anything's possible. But in reality, basically, you got to bear with me. I'm getting out of suspended reality and getting back into reality when it comes to this franchise. Right. Anything is possible, but I don't want to, like, I'm not dumb. I'm a fan, but I'm not dumb. That defense needs help. We're not. I don't. If we can get, I agree with you. If we can get a win in the playoffs, and build on this for next year. But anything is possible with our defense. I'm just not sold yet like you are. I'm kind of concerned with the defense. And, oh, by the way, I don't know. I could hear at the Arizona in the game, once you put up 35, you can hear Let's Go Redskins. I know we're never getting a name back. I get that. But it
no,
was
I know. I heard it.
It was nice to hear that.
I had so many people tweet me. I had so many people tweet me that they heard it, and I had people tweet me who were at the game that said Let's Go Redskins was a chant in the stadium. But, yeah. Thanks, Ronnie. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean,
hey, look, yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, go ahead quickly. Oh, sorry. I don't even want to think about next year. I mean, it's October 1st. We got an NFL team that's relevant for the first time in forever, and they're so good at the most important position on the field. So a lot is possible. A lot is. Paulie, go.
W, what's going on, big guy?
Hell to the W, what's up?
Hey, look, man, I went back and looked at the last 10 drafts at quarterback. There's only one other guy I'm taking, and that's Pat. And I'm talking about revisionist history here. You know, and that's Pat, man. This dude is one of two. You know, they say one of one. He's one of two, man. You know, you said no rookie quarterback and all that. Hey, you know what? This is the first time for everything. And if you look at all them other rookie quarterbacks, they was all caretakers. This guy's not a caretaker, all right? Barring major injuries, and I'm going to say that plural, like a rash of injuries, you know what I mean? And I could see the defense getting better. Go back to 2012 at 3-6, the defense was a sieve. Then the defense got better, and we made that run, you know what I mean? So, hey, listen, man, barring major injuries and the defense getting better, man, I could see this guy taking us to New Orleans. And may I say it, pull a Magic Johnson and get a championship.
You know, one play. Magic Johnson played the entire game. This guy plays half the game. Remember that.
Hey, look. We said that. Remember we said everything Magic touched turned to gold, baby. It's burgundy.
That is true.
Now, you know
that is true.
So I'm telling you, man. Hey, look at the NFC. There's no juggernaut team in the NFC, man. You know what I mean? So, I can see it, bro. I definitely can see it, man. I'll take it off hell to the dust.
All right. Let's see you, Paulie. Let's go to Samaj. Samaj in Baltimore. What's possible?
What's good, Coach? Thanks for taking my call, as always.
Sure.
Hey, man. As usual, Kevin, it's a little scary. I'm pretty much with you in lock arms step for step. I don't see no sort of semblance of defense that's going to carry us to any kind of promised land other than postseason. I definitely see postseason. I'm not even going to say give me a division crown. I'll take it if we can get it. But I'm thinking if we don't get the division crown, we'll get a wild card. And that's saying a hell of a lot for this franchise with a rookie quarterback in 2024. And so I can move the needle forward. I just want a nice season ending with a postseason appearance, hopefully a postseason win. And then I want heavy focus on the best quality players available on the defensive side come April's draft. Thanks, buddy. Have a good day, Coach.
Thanks, Samaj. Look, I'm saying what's possible is a division crown and a playoff win because I think there's a limiting factor, and it's a significant limiting factor, and they're on the field half the time, all right? But I am open to changing my mind in 2 weeks, depending on that result against Baltimore, a clear-cut Super Bowl contender. But once we get there, anything's possible. I mean, if you have at that position a true elite guy, anything's possible. The matchups mean everything. You know, the other team could be off that day. It's hard, I think, to win three to get there, you know, and hope to get the right, you know, kind of matchup three straight times without a defense. But, you know, could they win two? Yeah. Bob in Ocean City. Bob, go ahead.
All right, fellas. If you look at that last game, 9 different guys caught the ball. Your third running back made 2 touchdowns. The defense has been all beaten since the first game. I'm talking about the linemen. What, 17, 18 guys made a tackle on 2, including 2 different backup tight ends? It's a team game.
That's special.
They got everybody in the right position. Thanks for pointing out the ex-San Diego coaches running the run offense. I saw the Cardinals in the third quarter back their linebackers up 3 yards because their defensive coordinator can't figure us out. I don't think it's going to take them 10 years to figure them out. We scared every coordinator out there, defensive coordinator. We got plenty. Let's hope they don't get hurt. Let's hang 5-6 banners in the next 10 years with this guy. Love it.
How many banners in the next 10 years?
5-6, baby.
All right.
Let's go.
Let's do it, Bob, down in OC, hon. You got that right. 5-6 banners in the next 10 years. Oh, my God. We have gotten absolutely nuts here after 4 games. But I'm with you on the quarterback, no doubt. And by the way, let me just say, I'm also with you, or those that are with me, on the offensive coordinator. Really. And the head coach, Willie in Gaithersburg. Willie, go ahead.
What's up, Kevin? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Willie.
First-time caller. All right, first-time caller, a long-time listener. Enjoy your show so much, man, and I hear everybody's hype, man. I'm there. Look, this is the first year I bought season tickets because I bought into the change, you know, especially when we got rid of everything pretty much, you know. I saw the change. So I think what's going to happen, the possibilities – I think we're going to get into the playoffs, and just like you, maybe one playoff win. And that's going to be just good enough. But only because, you know, right now this new coaching staff is figuring out this team, you know, what we have. And next year, we're going to be better. So
let's just enjoy this year. We all understand that a young player should get better as time goes on, that they'll have another offseason for Adam Peters and group to add players. But right now, we are in first place in the NFC East, and people are putting us in the top 7 of power rankings in the NFL. Let me finish up with Sabah because she hasn't gotten in a couple of weeks. Sabah, finish it up. What's possible this year?
Hey there, Kevin. Thank you. Well, obviously, the Super Bowl is possible. I mean, we are so good offensively, and the thing I noticed the difference is we used to have a quarterback that the players liked, but the coaches hated. Then we got a quarterback that the coaches liked, but the players hated the coordinator. We now have a player that the coaches like, the players like, and the players like the coordinator. All three in tandem. And the best defense is an offense. Just keep the offense doing it the way we're doing it, and there's no reason why we can't at least get to the championship game and the Super Bowl. The only thing I regret is, if we succeed too much, is this name thing going to stick? And that's what I want you to talk about.
Yeah, it's interesting. I brought that up earlier. That's a conversation for down the road.
That's
me. Let's have ourselves a season first. The most important thing of, you know, coordinator, quarterback, players, is that the quarterback's really good. I think anybody with two eyes can understand that the big difference between anything that you just described the last few years is that this quarterback is really good. Really good. Like, this is elite level quarterbacking, which we haven't had anything close to this. Maybe ever.
Too. We've not had elite coordinator. You know,
yeah, the coordinator last year was a problem, but so was the quarterback. And the quarterback was the problem the year before, and maybe the coordinator was. All right, I got to run. Thanks. Good hearing your voice. Sorry, everybody else I missed. Mike Jones is going to join us next.